Right, Miss Major, what's your full name?
Rosa May Major.
Right, and what's your current occupation, or if you've retired?
I'm retired. I'm retired. You want to know what I used to do?
Oh, yes, I think so, definitely. Yeah.
Well, I started from school in the civil service. I passed the exam. And when the war came in 1939, we were evacuated up to Lancashire. And in 1942, I was getting a bit, didn't really think it was for me. I didn't mind the work, but it was the atmospheres there, and especially when promotions came along and people were walking around jealously saying, you know, I ought to have it. So I asked to join the Land Army, and they don't like civil service, didn't in those days like to lose anybody. So it took me about nearly 3 months. And then the personnel officer called me in and said they would let me go to join the Land Army, but there was a provision that I was not to be put into a war munitions factory. The other branch of the civil service were not to get rid hold of me, you see. But I hadn't been in there more than a week, and I knew I wouldn't go back. And consequently, I went to several different farms. But the first farmer I went to, he saw I was really interested in it, and he used to let me read his farming weeklies that he used to get. And I got really interested and in the sort of history of read books about it, and that there was a happened to be a library that did it postally, you see, and so I used to read their books, and that's how I got interested that way. I stayed in farming. When 1947, the Land Army, which thought they wouldn't be needed much longer, offered a 9 month training in the farm institute for any girl that wanted to go in. So I applied, and they sent me down to Devon to Bicton Farm Institute, and it was the first, it just opened, we were the first lot in there. So there was a bit of a fuss, and news people came round and that. But we finished in the September. And then we got another job. I met a friend in there who we started another job together in the Land Army. And then eventually, a few years later, we decided it was time to leave and find ourselves a job, which we did, from this advertisement in the paper. And that was to come to this farm just over there, Coombe Farm, Crewkerne. Cheese making farm.
What sort of cheese did you make?
Cheddar. A big cheese making farm. I mean, he employed about 53 or 4 people. So he had 3 herds of cows and that. And then he got partners. He was a very go-ahead man. He helped farmers that needed some help. They became partners, you see.
Right.
So that there are 4 or 5 farms around here that belong to that Coombe farm.
And can I just ask you when you were born and where you were born and where you grew up?
Yes, I was born in Tottenham, North London, and I lived there till I was 19, and when we were evacuated to Lancashire.
And your date of birth?
Is the 23rd of May, 1920.
Thank you very much, just for the record.
Mm.
And what did your parents do
when? I've written this down because it's a bit. My dad left school at 12 because his father died, and he and his older brother, who was 13, took jobs as messenger boys in the city of London. Solicitors and that, And then he went into, when he got older, he went into groceries. And in 1911, there was a census form. Now, my second cousin has just sent me, he made copies of it. He's gone in, he's taking on the, he's looking up the family records, okay. You see. And so in 1911, my father was a dispatch clerk, and also he went out delivering with a horse cart from Edmonds in Wood Green.
Right.
And then the war came along, and he was called up, and he wasn't a very strong man. He passed a test, but I think about C3 or something like that, and not, he wasn't sent abroad, and he became a drill sergeant. Until he was, and then when he was demobbed, he had no job, you see. And he couldn't find a job at all, so he started himself up as a backstreet boot mender. And that's what he did the rest of his life. My mother left school at 13, and she was in various factories, a sweet factory and a screw factory. And if she was out of a job and there was something going on at the Palace Theatre, she and her next sister up went and joined the chorus.
Fantastic.
And I've got some photos of her, you know, in the chorus. And she used to say, "You can't do this," and then she'd do a little step, you know. and that's how she went on until she married my father, yes.
And can you remember your first primary school, your first school?
Yes, I went to the middle class school at Tottenham, North Tottenham. It was originally a church school, the Auburn Hallows Church School, and at the time I was due to go to school, it was being sort of brought up to date. And the first day I went to school, I went to a large hall where all the classes, you know, like the old British schools, were in there together. But I didn't go to school till I was six. I don't remember anything about it, but from about 4 to 6, I used to have what the doctor said were angry fits. I used to, apparently, dash upstairs, you know, and knock myself about and that. And he said, "Well, don't let her start until she's six." By that time, I was all right.
And do you remember being taught history?
Yes, I remember bits of it, but it was mostly just sort of kings and following one another and whether they were good or not, you know.
Oh, yes.
The first thing that ever made me take any interest in it was a little book. I had a sister who was 10 years older than I was. She was born before the First World War. And she had a little book I found on the bookshelf. And I asked if I could read it, and she said yes. And it was Henry IV, Part 2. And I don't know how to explain it, but the words, the way it was written, I mean, I knew about Henry IV, but I didn't know a lot about him. But this book took me back. It was the way it was written, it was the words it was written with. It wasn't an ordinary book. And I used to go upstairs and read aloud to myself, you know. And I think that's what first, because I began to wonder then and see who was the Duke of Sussex and why was he saying this, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that really made me take an interest in history.
And at school, at primary, your first school, were there pictures on the wall, or did you, how did the teachers talk about things?
Well, I think we had textbooks.
Even at primary?
Yes, I think we did. I don't think there were any historical pictures on the wall. We had that sort of usual. We had sort of spelling things and all that sort of thing hung on the wall.
Yeah.
I missed the whole year, you see, because when I finished the first, where I was six and everybody else was five, they pushed me up to the third.
Oh, right.
See, and I don't remember, and nobody tried to fill in the gaps for me, so I think that was blank, really.
Oh, right, yes. So, and can you remember if it changed at all as you went up to school, or...?
The top teacher was the one with what I call an edge to her. She sort of made things better. It's more visible, as it were, and she started us on sort of poetry and stories about things, and she had at one time taught French, I think.
Oh, right.
Because she used to come out with French phrases and explain them. That was the only difference. The others were sort of teaching, and she was taking notice, I think, of what you were really interested in.
Right. And you stayed at the middle class school till you were
11.
11. Mm. And then what happened? Did you take the exam or anything?
I took the 11 plus examination. I was sickening for scarlet fever at the time. I think they knew I was, I think, because they sat me right in the corner. but there was a lot of scarlet fever about. But I did pass. They went into the lowest class at that school, and then in the second year I went up to the A class.
So what was the school that you went to when you were
Tottenham High School.
Oh,
it was a draper's school, and there were still some paying pupils there.
Right.
So that your class had all sorts of people in, and we were near Stamford Hill, so that we had quite a lot of Jews there as well, so we were quite a mixed bunch there.
Mm. And can you remember what sort of history you were taught there?
Yes, it went into the details of what the life was all about and that kind of thing. And the teacher we had two history teachers there, and the teacher we had, I think, was the better one of the two. She really explained things to you, but she also said, when you got up in the school a bit higher, she said, now read your newspapers, she said, read your newspapers. And she said, take notice of what's going on outside England, she said, because it affects us as well. She was that kind of thing.
Mm.
And then, of course, when I got to the fourth form, I was told I had to drop something. It divided into two, the arts and the science.
Oh, yes.
And, of course, history's dropped out of science, and I had took the science.
Oh, right, so you stopped it.
So I stopped it, and then I didn't have anything from her until I was in the top sixth form, and I was in the only one who wasn't going to university, and so they called it the civil service. Class civil service. But I did take some lessons with the other girls, and one of them was economics, and that history teacher also, she taught that. And that's when she started on about Russia and what they were doing over there. And, you know, that all came into economics. But, of course, I was only there for the year.
Right.
So... they wanted me to go on to university, and the head teacher told me that I would get a bursary. But, my mother, she couldn't go on any longer. She used to take coats in at penny a time to seam up, you know, to keep us going, and I was going on to 17. And she wanted money, needed money coming in. So I went into the civil service.
Just going back to the school, you know, when you were in those lower years, how did your teacher actually teach you? I mean, did she talk to you? How did it actually work in the lesson?
Well, she would... she would look at... Well, she would say what period it was, for instance. She would tell you books to read that explained all this. And then she would go into detail of why things were done and how things were done. And, of course, it became more complicated when we got up to the 18th century. We didn't go to any museums or anything. There were no trips. The only trips were to Shakespeare plays.
Oh, right.
Yeah, which, of course, we didn't go to because they're expensive, you see. In fact, I think until the question of university came up, I think that nobody in the school knew how, you know, difficult it was for us because Dad had pernicious anaemia before I went to Tottenham High School, and he had two or three illnesses and that, and because we always had good shoes and good mum always made our clothes where she could, and that nobody ever knew. I'm sure they didn't, because my form mistress, and in the sixth year when I knew that they knew I wasn't going to university, she came up with a pair of shoes and said, "Would you be offended if I asked you to take this to your father?" And I said, "Well, of course I wouldn't."
That's nice of her. And did they have actual textbooks that they lent you at the school?
We had textbooks. Oh, yes.
Right.
Textbooks and the paper, of course, and everything was... it wasn't like it is now.
That was all provided for
you.
Yes. Can you remember any of the names of the textbooks?
No, I can't.
Too long ago. It was a very long time ago. And what about radio? Or did you ever have school radio? No, they did do history programmes.
No, we never had.
You never had them in your school?
No, it was wireless in those days.
Wireless, sorry. Did you have any wireless?
The only time we had the wireless was when King Edward...
Yes,
and then they put it in the hall and we went in and listened.
Oh, wow.
And of course some of the teachers cried. It didn't affect us very much because let's face it, the song that was going about was "Hark the Herald Angels Sing, Mrs. Simpson's Pinched Our King." So we were young enough not to... My mother said, "You mustn't sing that."
Oh, I've never heard that.
Haven't you? Well, that started up, you know, strangely enough, in the north and in the south. There was no connection whatsoever because there was no radio.
Nobody would have played it on the radio. No. Amazing.
And it was amazing.
Good. And did you like the way that history was taught?
Oh, yes. I liked her very much. I was not the sort of girl who asked questions or anything, but I found that if she said anything I couldn't work out for myself, I'd take it home with me and think about it. And as she had explained it, presumably so well, I was able to find out what she meant by what she said.
Right.
It's. I think I was the quiet one in the school. It's. I always was. I don't think they really knew what I was like.
Yes.
Because I was quite different out of school.
And did you actually have set homework, or did you just...
Oh, yes. We had no homework in the first school, but we had homework, yes.
Right.
Yes. Quite a lot of homework.
Right. And so would that, for history, would that be essays and things?
That's right, yes. Yes. So that you had to... She had to know you understood what she was talking about.
Right.
Yes, and she would go over some of the questions that people might want answered, you know, and some of the things that people didn't seem to understand, she would go over in class again.
And what periods were you studying, or did you go right through?
We went right through until... before the First World War.
Right, and where did you start?
We started at 1066 again, which right. we had already done at the other school, but right. in much more detail.
Right, right. And then you just progressed
And just
right
progressed
through.
Right through.
Okay, good. And so you've said you didn't do history because you did
no.
science for school, so. But when you were, you said you did that year in the sixth form, how was it that you were doing with the people doing hires, yes?
Yes.
So was it taught differently then?
I didn't do all the things that they did because, of course, I like the music side and that kind of thing, I was out of, you see.
No, but in the history,
In the economics and all the maths and the chemistry and the biology, yes.
Oh, so you weren't doing history, you were doing more economics,
yes.
but with a bit of economic history
That's right, yes.
within it.
Yes.
Right. So how was the economic history? What period were you studying?
We studied modern. I don't know why they didn't, but they never touched the World War One. We were doing the present day and leading up to the present day, and that's how Russia came into it, you see. And when actually on the day I left school, Miss Elliot, the teacher, came to me and gave me a book on Russia, and for me, because she saw I was interested in it, you see.
So she was particularly interested.
Yeah, she was particularly. She thought it was a good thing. But of course, some of the girls were saying, well, look at all the people who are going through and dying because of it.
Mm.
And of course, then she said, well, everything like that is. That always happens.
Right.
It does.
Yes. So on the whole, do you think that the history that you were taught was taught well?
Yes, I do. I think, you know, we got a good grounding. We knew what our world was like and what it had been like in the past and how these things that have happened had taken place, why they'd taken place, which I think is what you should know.
Mm. Yes, absolutely. And do you think that the history you were taught at school helped you to feel proud of being British in any way?
Yes, well, now there you come to a question.
Yes.
Because I'm English.
Yes.
And I always put English. Now, we are three separate countries.
Mm.
They're all three are different. But yes, all right, I'm proud to be British, but I'm still proud to be English part
right.
of Britain.
Okay, fair enough. But do you think it helped you to feel proud of being
yes.
English?
Oh, yes, yes. And of course, I've always done things about English history, you know, after I've left school and that. And I don't know, it's fundamentally, I feel fundamentally that I am English.
Mm.
It's I like the Welsh, and I mean a lot of people don't like the Welsh. I've heard ever so many English people say that, and I like the Scots, but I'm English, and they want to be Scottish and they want to be Welsh. Only look what they're doing today.
That's right. Well, what's interesting, I'm looking back at the textbooks. Sometimes I've seen quite a lot of old textbooks
yeah.
now. Some in the same sentence, they'll just have English and British.
Yeah.
And they just seem to see them as identical.
Yes. Well, but we were taught English.
You were definitely taught
Definitely taught
English.
English history. And the Scottish and the Welsh, except when we were at war with them, never came into it.
Right, and that's interesting.
Yeah.
But so it did help you to feel proud of being English.
Oh, yes. Oh, right. yes.
And what do you remember most from the history lessons that you had at school?
Well, I can't really say, because, you see, I don't know whether I'm very different from most pupils, but I just listened and took it in, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
And there, I suppose really I preferred when we got up to the 18th century, but it all sort of fell in place.
Yes, so nothing stands out.
No.
It was all interesting.
That's right.
Yes, well, that sounds very good teaching. And have you done any more kind of history since you've left school?
Well, you've only got to look at the books I've got.
Oh, right. Okay.
And there's two more bookcases upstairs.
Right.
They're my vice, really,
oh,
books.
Right.
yes, but I've got them from all areas and all sorts, different people, because some historians fall out of favour, don't they?
Oh, yes.
And so I've got some of those and some of the loose ones and the ones that they sort of take note of nowadays.
Right.
It's, my friend and I, Pam, well, when we took our holidays, we always took them. Her father used to say that you've only got to see a heap of old stones by the roadside and you stop. But we have found so many different sorts of castles and different sorts of worshipping places, you know, that it's really, that's what we would do.
Mm. So you probably were a member of the National Trust and things?
No, and the English Heritage.
And English Heritage, yeah. Right, yes. So you obviously do lots of visiting. And do you watch the TV programmes about history?
Yes,
what?
I do watch them. I prefer Starkey to Andrew Marr, because Andrew Marr's all over the place,
yes.
And so are the cameras.
Right.
And I noticed in the Radio Times, where they're starting this Norman, all from the Normans, that it does say there that it is a little bit dull in places with not much happening. And there is rather a lot of camera work, which to me means seeing things upside down and everything.
All right.
but I shall watch it to see.
Well, yeah. I saw a review, I didn't see it last night, but I saw a review of it today, and it said there wasn't lots of music and things, so that's probably, you'll like it.
Yeah.
There weren't lots of fancy things, it was just him talking a lot. So
yes,
hopefully it'll be interesting. And have you ever been in a history society or anything like that, a local history one?
No, I haven't joined one here. Well, they've been a bit behind here. They've got their own local one.
Yes.
That's... It's not easy, really. See, Pam died in 92, and it's not easy. I don't drive.
Oh, really?
And it's 3 miles. You see, once upon a time I could walk 3 miles and 3 miles back, but...
it's a long way, and late at night. What about family? Well, you've got a cousin who's doing family history. Have you done
Yes. I gave him all that I'd got, and he has followed one or two things through, and then he heard the 1911 thing had come out, so he sent me the my father's, what my father put in, you see. And also he's still keen on, he's been searching, because he's the son of my father's older brother, and he was killed on the Somme, so I never knew him, and he has been trying to find out where he's buried.
Right.
So I don't know if he's managed yet. But it made a difference to my father, I know, because my older sister said that before the war he was the life and soul of the party. Now, I would never think my father was the life and soul of the party.
Mm.
He was quite withdrawn, because I know some of it's his health not too good. But I think he felt it very much.
Yes. And do you think that your love of history, reading, was partly inspired by the way you were taught history at school?
Oh, yes. All the time, I would think. Because I Well, when I was in the first school, I found in Woolworths, which was threepence and sixpence in those days, they brought out sort of paper-backed little booklets, which were historical. And it started with the Romans, but they were simply drawings. And they were drawings of what they wore, what they lived in, what they did. And it went on right up to Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm.
And then they stopped. So I used to buy these, you see, and I love them. I remember them now, but of course they've gone. But I can remember what they looked like and how good they were, you know. And that kind of thing, I've always felt on that, you know, it's part of me.
Mm-hmm. And is there anything else you'd like to say about your memories of being taught history at school or anything?
Well, I always enjoyed it, whoever was teaching me, although some made me enjoy it more.
Yeah.
I really read while I was still learning at school, so we had a very good library in Tottenham, and I used to take the books out and read them and read round them, but I never asked anything.
Mm.
I never did. I worked it all out for myself, which might have been a bit wrong, but I didn't want to ask anybody else, you know. Sort of when I was in the sixth form and I used to be some periods on my own and they'd be given something to read, well, the English teacher came in to me one period and she said, I've brought some books of poetry that you probably haven't read, and she said, you sit and read them and see what you think of them, and we'll talk about it some other time. So I was reading through there and I read a quite a long poem by somebody called Brooke, I think. I've always tried to remember. I've never found it again. But I finished reading it and I sat and thought, and you know, for no reason at all, everything I'd learned fell like a jigsaw, and all the history and geography, everything I'd learned, I thought to myself, it's all one thing. The whole thing is all one thing, but I didn't tell anybody.
Right. So they're all a part of each other.
It was just as if everything fell into place, and I sat there for a long time feeling almost ecstatic that this had come to me and that it was all useful to me. It really was wonderful. I never told anybody that, anybody at all. But when Pam died, of course, what I missed was, because she was a reader too, and she also liked a lot of history, and we used to talk such a lot, you know, and discuss things and take one side and the other. And that's what I missed most of all.
Yes.
Because you suddenly realise that all the words you use are ordinary words, and you've lost the other words you thought of. Now my second cousin, who's doing the on the family tree now, he said to me one day, he said, do you like words? I said, yes, I do. He said, well, I've always noticed in your letters you use a lot more different words than other people do. It's because I need the word that is the best one in there. And if I've got an empty page and a pen in my hand, I do write a lot.
Right.
And I since Pam died, I've written a lot of diary in big books. I mean, people will just chuck them away when I've finished. But, you know, it'd be because I needed something.
Yes,
something
yes.
to that wasn't ordinary. Yeah.
Well, shall we stop there?
Yes.
That's been very good. That's lovely.